Oh,
well, then, yeah, it's probably, okay, I didn't realize. All right, so here we go. We are in Exodus
14.
Well, I want to do a review of Exodus 13, and there's a reason why. Because I'm talking to a lot of people. Well, not a lot of people. I'm talking to a few people. And a lot of people feel sorry or they're broken, they're humble, but they miss step two. And you got to get step two down. And as I was getting ready to go into Exodus 14, which I still hope we can get to, we're not going to get through Exodus 14 today. We might get an introduction. I wanted to make sure that Exodus 13 was covered. That we realized that, man, I'm talking to folk, that's one of the steps. They want God's best. They know they need Him, but they don't want to change. They don't want to do what's necessary to make that next step to get over the Red Sea and to really have that, to be new. They don't want to be new. And I don't think it's, whether it's just they don't understand or they just don't want to, or I don't know. So I want to make sure that we understand the application piece of this. And so when I first started teaching this particular chapter of Exodus and I knew the feast, I'm like, oh man, I got this down. And then the guy who ordained me, Pastor Turner, he's passed now, he had an application base. I thought I was application based, but his application of the word was just a little deeper than mine. I'm like, man, I want to be able to have that application. That's the reason why I'm the way I am today. You can have the word, know the word, be excited about the word, but if you don't know how to apply the word, that you just missed it. So I happened to be looking around. I found his old notes from one of his Bible studies or whatever. And I wrote these notes down, and I want to go through his notes as a review of Exodus 13. All right. Now, unfortunately, I've got his notes up. And I did that so that you guys get, but I'm going to put this on the site or whatever. So, but I don't have the scripture up in front of me, so and I didn't bring my Bible. So somebody might have to read it, or as you read Exodus 13 as a review, because we went over this last week, I want you to see some of the notes I took on the application of what that means, because that sort of means, it'll show you, I think, how this really applies for us today. All right. So, all that said, and then we'll get over to Exodus 14. Verses 1 and 2 of Exodus 13, just some summary here. And I tried to highlight some of this. The symbolism of this is where, when he says to sanctify them, it's to set your future, set apart your future, and give it to God. My inheritance and my future is in and with Him. And again, I'll print this out or put it on the site so you can find it. That's the reason we talked about this. God deserves my best or my first fruit. What is giving God's best? I give Him my best time. I give Him in my quiet time. I give Him my undivided attention. Prayer is good any time of the day, but when I get up, that's the first thing I want to do. Is just start talking to Him and thanking Him for getting me up. He gets my first attention, first fruit. All right, and basically, I'm putting my future and my day in God's hands. All right, and I'm sorry I didn't highlight this before. In verses 3 and 4, of Exodus 13. Again, we talked about this last week. He says, remember who brought you out and how I brought you out. All right? So he wants us to remember who brought us out and how he brought us out. And why is that important? I said, because that's how he's going to do it again. I like the idea that he had of an address change. Brought out from this place, meaning they were in another place right now. Did you understand what that means? Where did he just bring them out from?
Egypt.
Bondage. Where Pharaoh was killing their youth. Now they're in another place. He brought them out of there to another place. Is the place they're at now better than where they were before?
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's not ultimately where.
It's not the
best. It's nowhere near his best, but it's better than what it was. Yeah. And if we keep that in mind, sometimes when we are going through things or we see some things missing or we got some tough times or whatever, it's important for us to realize it's not as bad as it was before because now he's with us. And we're serving him rather than serving Pharaoh or the devil or the world. I don't care how bad it gets, I'm in a better position right now than I was when I was lost and not this far out. All right? And it's a process. There's a purpose and a plan with God. All right. Like verse 5, he's doing this because we know this from the feast, but we got to always remember there is a purpose behind the move. There is a process that's involved. And this process will always take us to God's best, which is representative of the promised land. So now with the children of Israel, you have this parable of how God brings them from one place, and the ultimate plan is to bring them into this promised place, this land flowing with milk and honey. Is that the same plan that he has for us? Absolutely. All right. Pause for any questions. Again, this is just review, but when I saw his notes, I'm like, now I know why I wrote this stuff down, because I had not really heard anybody break it down in an application level like this. Good? All right. Okay. I like some of the things. Yes, he's a Baptist preacher, so you know he likes to do stuff. There may be stones along the way, but God is not through yet. He's not through with it. All right. There is a even better place, but they had not experienced it yet. But the better place is on the way. We know how the story ends, in other words. I know how this ends. All right. Verse 7 talks about not eating leavened bread. Don't take any leaven out with you. All right. Don't let leaven or sin hang around you. Spiritual perfection involves getting the leaven or the sin out of your life. That's part of the process. And we know that in order to stop sinning, you or have the mind to not sin, you have to repent or change your mind. And that's the problem with number 2. People want God's best, but they don't want to change their mind about the world and sin. I want it, but I don't want to stop sinning to get careful.
And I'm thinking about, that's scary, but in respect to the feast of the unleavened bread, the Passover, in parallel to when Jesus, when you parallel to Jesus with someone, I need to concentrate, and as I come up to the holy season this year, pray that he exposes the things that I need to repent for. How does the season, and I know I'm probably being too technical, but how does the season of unleavened bread parallel time-wise in respect to the 3 days of when he was crucified?
No. Okay. So, just my understanding. in Leviticus 23, unleavened bread happens right after Passover. Okay. All right? In fact, immediately after Passover.
15 days.
And it's a ceremony that lasts about 7 days. But then there's another feast that comes in the middle of that 7 days. All right? Seven being the number of perfection. We can't be perfect. But there's scripture in the New Testament that says, be ye perfect as I am perfect. But we can't be perfect. So I see that perfection as being me being perfectly in line with these steps and these feasts, and it's just a continuous process. So he's always removing sin through that process. This is just my understanding how I take this. Passover starts first. It's unleavened bread, and then the season of unleavened bread. All right. I need to continue, as I continue down this walk, continue to be weaning out and getting rid of the leaven in my life. And you'll see that, because even though first fruits happens about in the middle of the continuation of unleavened bread, again, this is just my understanding. Even in first fruits, as you see in Exodus 14, he's still doing that washing process as we go. And that's the big deception of a lot of Christians. I've gone through the process. I've done this. You know, I've crossed the Red Sea. I've been baptized. But now the continuation of sin still continues. Or I still got a little bit of sin left in me. Which is why I wrote the second book, Entangled in the Land. Because when you get to Exodus 14, the majority of my Christian life was in Exodus 14. I was free, but still entangled into some things in the world, my career, blah, 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 whatever. And so I thought, hey, I'm celebrating repentance, but am I celebrating it every day, and is it a continuation? It's still part of the process. And you'll see it again. Good question, Carol. And you'll see it again when you get to the Day of Atonement, because that's almost like the believers going once again and reminding themselves again, I still need to make sure that I'm linked with God, and that's the Day of Atonement where he's sprinkling the blood, you know, for the forgiveness and the removal of our sin. Alright? Good question. Yes.
So it's after Jesus has paid for our sins, then we're able to repent.
Okay. So I want something that I can't pay for. Peace, joy, hope. He paid the price. He redeemed me. When you put something on a layaway, it's paid for, or somebody paid for it. You still have to do something before you can enjoy it. You got to go get it.
You
got to go say you want it. Yeah. You got to change your mind. Oh, you know, I'm okay just sitting here waiting on it. Now you got to change your mind and say, oh, let me go get it. So he paid the price, but, you know, that's step two, that his whole burial, and that's the symbolism of the burial. Some things have to die before I can turn around and get his best. You can't take that stuff with you into your new season. Can't take that fear into your next match. Can't. You won't be successful like that. All right. So, good question. All right. In verse 8, he talks about, you know, when the kids ask you, you know, this, that, and the other, a good dad shows his kids how to live clean and has a testimony and helps them through their own Exodus process. I don't rely only on the church and the church Sunday school and the church Bible study and the church youth department. to get my kids out of understand the process. Daddy has a role in that as well. Last week we talked about the phylacteries, how they kept those pieces of scripture. Keep the word nearby and meditate on it. Sometimes we have a tendency to remember what and how he delivered you yesterday so you can get over today. I'm real good on this when it comes to jobs, because I've lost so many jobs, and he always delivers me and gives me a better job for a better purpose or whatever. So I've got full blessed assurance. Whenever I lose a job, I'm like, woo, amen. That means another better one's on the way. But I don't know if I have that kind of faith in all aspects of my life.
Because God in that situation with you losing job has proved himself over and over again.
My faith is built on experiencing his faithfulness in that area. But I have not experienced it in other areas perhaps. So that's where I really need to...
But you should, I mean, we all should, not saying that we do, we all should, based on that one experience, understand that his faithfulness is true in everything.
Well,
but like, we don't understand,
like you said, yeah, exactly correct. Remember what and how he delivered me yesterday will encourage me that he's still going to plan stuff. Yeah, he'll do it again. All right. Verse 11 and 12, I didn't have anything big there. It's just, you know, praise him in season, out of season. God still wants you best. He's still talking about that sanctification and dedication. In verse 13, he's going to redeem from bondage by his power, not our power. And then again, verse 14, people are going to ask, the kids are going to ask you, why do we do this? And we should be certain that we know why we're in church today, why we're in Bible study today, why we pray over our food, why do we do the things that we do? Let me tell you about my exes. Let me tell you about what God did for me. All right. Verse 16 talks about, I think that talks about the Philistines' opposition to their faith. And he says, the more opposition you face, the greater the move of God. Now, if you just think about that for a minute. I was at the prison the other night, and I told them that their ministries will be more powerful than mine. Your ministry and what God does in your life will be more powerful than what he does for me. You'll have a greater testimony than I will have right now, because you're going through more than what I'm going through right now. I'm not in jail. Never have been. You are. For whatever reason that you are, God has a special kindness and purpose for the inmate and for the weak and the poor and the downtrodden, because his power and his glory is magnified even greater in that weakness and brokenness. So that you can look at that and say, he is the only one that could have brought you out of this. Somebody might look at me and say, well, you know, you got a couple of degrees and you got your education. Oh, you know, you're a military guy and you were trained to do this, that, and the other. You know, all that's probably true. But the bigger the trial, the bigger the testimony, the bigger the glory. Thoughts? All right, verse 17. He tells them we're going to take the long way around. There was a shorter way, but when trouble comes, they might turn back to the world. Ooh! I know we talked about it. Everybody nodding their head like, yep. Been there. Yep. Don't. Yeah. Gotcha. All right. Seeing what was in front of you may change your mind about following the Lord. Sometimes what we see shakes our faith, and then we don't trust in God. We take matters into our own hands. Sarah, Abraham, Hagar, Samson, Moses, striking the rock more than once. And I know all of us, if we do this thing long enough, there will be a time in the season where we see some scary stuff in front of us, and we go, ooh. May not want to continue following the course. Or we ask the question, is God still with us? Oh, yes, He is. He doesn't leave us. We leave Him.
I think that's a good question to ask ourselves. Is what I'm seeing affecting my faith?
Ooh, yes. Yeah. Don't be influenced or moved by what you see the enemy doing. Biden's trying to mess with my doggone investment portfolio. I'm like, all right, what's going on here? Okay, now here's some bullets here. Just about every single one of these is just some good snippets. When I was looking at this, I highlighted just about every line here. I think we're almost done with the reason. No, hang on, hold another page review. Okay. Again, I'm going to put this on the site. Easy is not always better. What we want often is not always what's best for us.
Amen. The grass looks greener.
Yeah.
It may be on top of a septic tank.
There you go.
That's good.
Yeah. And the only one that benefits out of that is Jimmy. Thank you, by the way. I'm looking at my yard. My yard looks so wonderful. It's got some stupid grass in there. I don't even know. It's just stupid grass in there. It's stupid grass. It comes up before the regular grass or whatever. It's broader leaf or whatever.
The flower of the grass fades, but the word of God will never fail.
Amen. She's distracting me from talking about my yard. But anyway. Yeah.
Chuck, I've got a question.
Yes, Susan.
So, yes. In essence, it would take 11 days to go from Egypt to the Promised Land. However,
11 days. I hadn't heard that one.
Where did you get that from?
Well, somewhere it says 11 days.
Yeah,
anyway.
You said
11? Uh-huh.
What
does
it say?
11.
The short way.
If you go
straight,
the distance.
Oh, okay.
The actual distance.
Okay, I didn't
know that. Yes. Okay. They had to get the law. Build the tabernacle, and all those things had to take place, in my thought, before they could go forward.
That's not just your thought. That's the feast. That's the process. Exactly. Yes.
Okay. So they weren't going to get there in 11 days, no matter what.
Oh, no. They could have got there quicker. They could have got there quicker. They didn't get there quicker because of God. Because how many feast steps do we have?
Seven.
So, you know, it's like 7-Eleven. They could have got there within 11 days. This is God. All right? If that's, in fact, the 11 is true. But why didn't God take them the quick way? Because He says, if I take them the quick way, they're going to see what they got to deal with, and they're going to repent and want to go back, and they'll never get there.
They were not.
Yeah. So our delivery time is not always based upon God and His grace and mercy. He says, that boy can't handle that. We got to take the long way around. And sometimes it's us is the reason why we don't have it and enjoy it.
Yes.
It's us. I hate to say that, but yeah, it's us. No, I could have talked to somebody that I had a difference of agreement with a whole lot sooner.
Yeah.
to it.
But he's waiting on me to go through the process that Susan just described, and I'm like, oh, okay, now I'm ready to have that conversation. Could I have had that conversation earlier? Absolutely. But I had to humble myself. I had to repent. Now, I'm still too mad to talk to you right now. I need more time. But that's on me, not God. Carolyn.
Just a quick reset. This fits with me with my testimony of being a mother of a drug addict for over 13 years.
Okay.
And praying for over 13 years. And it wasn't just my heart that had to be right. There was a lot of people in my families and situations and scenarios
right.
that they had to be where they needed to be at the time. So when God did, and it was a God thing,
right.
when God did bring him out of his addiction, it could stick. Because if all the other things weren't in place, It wouldn't have been.
If all the other things weren't in place, it wouldn't have stuck. And then he would have gone back. And so now he's been delivered. Let me ask you, Carolyn, your son, you know, the drug stuff or whatever. Did he go through this process in any way, shape, or form? Do you see his story in this story?
Yes.
Oh.
And he knows it was God.
He knows it was God. You know, because he went through what he went through, he's probably got greater faith than somebody else who didn't go through it.
Yeah.
That's right.
And once he found out that he had a need to be delivered from his drug abuse or whatever, he had to repent at step two. There's somewhere in that step two where he had to say, I've got to change my mind about this. I've got to put this past stuff behind. That's why I wanted to do another review of Exodus 13, because that's where a lot of people miss it. I know I need help, but I don't want to do what I need to do to let go to get it.
Yeah, like I said, it wasn't just me and my prayers.
Right.
My heart had to be right. Siblings' hearts had to be right.
Right.
Spouses of siblings' hearts. Situations, locations needed to be. Everything had to be right in place. So when
in alignment with God. Yep.
It can be in alignment with what needed to be. And if it took
yep.
12 years, it took 12 years.
Yep. But praise the Lord. Yep. Getting it quick is not the issue as much as ensuring God is in it. Whether it's short, whether it's long, make sure the influence is based upon the Holy Spirit. I was talking to Jimmy in the hallway earlier this morning, talking about Cloverdale. Some people are stuck and wanting to have it one particular way. That's your way. It may not be your way, and you got to make sure God is not, you know, absent in your way.
In Deuteronomy 1:2, normally it takes only 11 days to travel from Mount Sinai to Kadesh Barnea, going by the way of Mount Seir, but 40 years after the Israelites left Egypt. On the first day of the 11th month, Moses addressed the people of Israel, telling them.
Look at that! So what's that, Deuteronomy?
1:2.
1:2. All right. 11 days. Thank you, Susan. I'm going to be using that. All right.
Thank you, yes.
Oh, I like this note right here. After Pharaoh released them, God led them. Which means God can't lead you until Pharaoh lets you go.
Well, the main thing you want to find at Cloverdale, as well as every church body, is you want to find the presence of Jesus.
Yes.
And the Jesus, power of the Holy Spirit.
And if that's absent, then you want to find out why, and you want to invite him in and make sure he's there.
Well, you got to be humble. And then you got to do step number two. Because that's the challenge. We know we need change. Got a black pastor. We know we need change. But are we willing to let go of some of the things that we have enjoyed all these years in order to get something? Yes. Our preferences. Are we okay with putting our preferences and our past success behind us so we can step into something new that God has for us?
That's one of the major statements I remember Pastor Eric saying when he was here about letting go of our preferences.
Okay. So this is Exodus 13. That's why I just wanted to do a quick review. Well, that ain't so quick as I wanted it to be. I want to make sure that people understand what the symbolism, what Christ being in the grave is all about. Okay.
The thing I noticed about what after Pharaoh released him, God made him release him, but
yeah.
God can't lead you until you take the first step.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he may get you released, but you still got to take that first step. You can't be led if you're standing still.
Right. Right. Well, you're going to see that in Exodus 14. They're standing still in front of the Red Sea, and God, I don't know why you're standing here. Move. All right.
That was always confusing to me for many, 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 many years, up until even like last year, why God said, why are you standing here? I mean, you know, just, you know,
we're going to take a look at it. But there was some process involved in that.
Right. What I finally drew, though, was God was saying, Moses, stop praying, be quiet, and hold the staff up.
Yep.
And let's go. And be quiet, because he was like, Susan, because I'll just talk God to death.
Okay. Really?
If he can.
Okay.
I want to be quiet.
She smacks Jimmy. Alright.
Well, I think about the Old Testament, I mean, the New Testament story where the gate, the chain, he's in jail and the door's open.
Right. Paul. Yep.
And Paul's still just sitting there.
Well, it was for a greater testimony. So you got to take it, it's relative. You got to take it the context of what we're talking about here. All right. All right. Some things we're not ready to handle right now. If you're going through, that's God's way of saying you can handle it. He'll never put more on you than you can bear. So if it's on you, he's got you. Don't repent and turn back.
I don't completely agree with that.
Well, that's scripture, so tell me why you don't agree.
Scripture, if you go back to that scripture.
Well, if you don't agree, you might
exactly
not. You might not
say it.
Oh, well, okay. All right.
God will put more on you than you can handle because he wants you to let him handle it through you.
Let's go back to the scripture. God will not. Ooh, this is different. All
what's
right.
The scripture.
God will not put more on you than you can bear.
Right.
1 Corinthians 2:13.
Somebody look it up. Is this right?
What was
it?
10:13.
1 Corinthians 10:13.
Yes.
All right.
Okay, I'm reading New King James. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But when the temptation, with the temptation, will always also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it.
So
it's him doing the work.
But you're still going through it.
I'm still going through it.
So you can bear it. And you got to realize, I don't think, I'm not looking at that scripture, I don't think temptation in the translation there means temptation in the way of enticing us to sin. I think that's the trials of life or being tested.
Okay.
The last part of it is that when you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure.
Okay. So there might be different translations in that word tempted.
Right.
The way it's being
used.
All right. So the point, but as I'm going back through here,
yeah.
All right, we're still going through the steps when the trial or the test or the temptation comes, right?
Right.
And so when it comes, can I handle it?
You can look for the way of escape.
And the way of escape is going through my steps. Lord,
yeah.
I'm dealing with something. I need your help. Two, I stop trying to handle it my way. Three, my faith and trust is that you got this. And just like the children of Israel, through your spirit, you will bring me through this or help me to handle this as well. So it's still the steps. So Lauren, you're not incorrect in your assumption. I still need God, whether I'm on top of the mountain or in the valley. All right. Thanks. God never gives us a great product without a grueling or great process. great people usually have gone through some stuff. And he's a former football player. My pastor was a former football player, so he has a football example. He says everybody wants to have the jersey with their name on the back, but they don't want to get hit. All right. What takes longer is usually appreciated more. There you go, Carolyn. If I have to work harder for it, I may appreciate it more.
True.
Problem that I have with some of these generations. When I went to college, I had an agreement with my dad. I'm going to pay the first semester through my summer savings, and he's going to pay the next semester. It worked good for a semester. And then comes the second semester when he's supposed to pay, he said,
I ain't got no money.
And I'm like, well, you... So I'd take out student loans. Now I'm paying for the whole thing. Now, when he was paying, I was skipping class like crazy.
Right.
When I started paying, I stopped skipping class. I stopped paying for this or whatever. Yeah. I appreciate it a little bit more. Hey, man, anyway, let me just keep going. God is leading you or moving you into your destiny. It just might not be the way that you planned it.
You don't plan it no way.
No, yeah, we do.
I don't plan mine. I let him plan it.
Oh, that's good. But that ain't no. Everybody got plans.
Well, I pray I said, God, show me your plan.
But you only started doing that after you realized that that your bootleg plans weren't gonna make it. So now you follow his 7-step plan. Now, amen. God bless you. Yeah. Unfortunately, there's still people. God bless you, Al. Unfortunately, there's still people still giving God their plan.
Yeah.
We can aspire.
Yeah,
to
tell them your plans. Yeah. When you get there, you will really appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, I like this one. I like these two. We don't often understand this. Some things God will lead you through, and some things He'll lead us around.
And sometimes He'll choose to take you out of it.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
You'll be surprised at the stuff you avoided because God took you around it. Yes. Okay. Oh, we already talked about this one.
Yeah.
Yeah. It took longer, not because of God, but because of them. There is a reason you may not be enjoying your best season yet. It might be you.
I might be in my own way.
Amen. Just because you made it this far out of Egypt, there is always the danger of going back. Always the danger of going back.
There's a song by an artist, Sarah Rose, and it's called Taking Pictures of Egypt.
Go back, take pictures of Egypt? Like
take it in your mind, right. You know, thinking, because the Hebrews, they started thinking, well, it was better there, but it really wasn't.
Right, because so you forget about all the bad. Yeah, that's part of that temptation.
About the pain.
Yep.
It's also what we feel comfortable with. They were comfortable in Egypt, even though it was bad.
That's the truth right there.
Yeah.
Well, I'm uncomfortable not being where God wants me to be, so. Make sure God is still in front and leading you on your journey. I don't know. Make sure. Yes, sir.
That's why them 11 days come in there, because 11 days, you're too close. You look back at Egypt and want to go back where you came from.
Ooh.
So he took you away from there so you won't be able to look back at it.
Okay, look at you, man. See what you started, Susan?
Yeah.
We talked about them being dressed in the form of an army. Thank you, Matt. And my pastor says, order always precedes blessing. The devil likes chaos and disorder.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Creation was performed systematically and in order.
God is a God of order.
When your life is in order, the blessings will start to flow.
Amen.
He said they leave out looking like an army, but they're not ready to fight.
They
leave out looking like an army, but they ain't ready to fight. You have to look the part before you get the part. Start acting like you're blessed and highly favored.
Faith,
the evidence of things not seen. Start acting like God is going to come through right now. Act like no weapon formed against me will prosper.
It will not,
because
he turned it wrong.
That's it. Amen. So act like it. All right.
Remember whose you are.
Yep. God's way may take longer. There you go, Carolyn, for our benefit. Sometimes rejection is God's protection.
Ooh.
Ooh. All right. David's going to be upset. I'm going to use the whole doggone class time for review. All right, here we go. All right, Joseph promised them that God would visit them. Where? There in Egypt. Where they were today was for the purpose of bringing them out of this place into something better. Joseph died by faith there, but he knew he wouldn't stay in that place. Here's one for you. I know this is from a Baptist preacher. When God really visits a place, even dead stuff gets moved around. Woo! When God really visits a place, even dead stuff gets moved around. Yeah, that sounds like a Baptist. I can see him preaching that.
It don't matter how long it's been dead. That's
no, oh, dry bones. All right, there we go.
Or how stinky it could be.
Well, we ain't going to go there. There you go. That's it. Three Hebrew boys.
Yes.
Some things that were in this place dead, you won't find in the same place when God really visits a place. So, some people might remember that my ice cream money time, my anger, my temper, all the rest of those types of things or whatever, and they come back and they're interacting with me and they're like, we know that's the place that you're in or whatever, but when God really moves, I'm not at that place anymore. Somebody might call you in and, well, I know you got to be going through, you got to be, it's got to be tough on you. No, I'm not at that place anymore. I know that's where you expect to find me. I just said something. I know based upon everything that's happened, that's where you expect to find me. But that dead stuff, that's not where you'll find me. I got a new address.
Well, that's salvation right there.
And that's part of the process. But that step two, that burial, that baptism, that letting go of that past. So when people come to see me, they cannot come back and see the same me.
Amen.
And if they do, then God hadn't visited that area of my life. When God really visits a place, stuff that moves that couldn't move before. Stuff moves that couldn't move before. All right.
Got it.
Oh, and this is one. History lesson. The children of Israel didn't ignore or forget the old or the heroes from the past, their legacy or their history. They just didn't stay there with it. They took it to another level. They didn't let the history there keep them there.
History is to learn from, not to do it again.
Right?
But I kind of wanted to stay there.
their comfortable place.
Yes, probably didn't want to leave.
You know, when they got out, they saw how tough it might be.
Sometimes people will look at they're celebrating their history. When he's telling them, I don't want you to forget how I brought you out.
He made them put markers in there.
But he's not telling them to remember back in Egypt.
Sure.
He's bringing them out and telling them, remember your history and your legacy and what you went through as I'm bringing you out. Now again, this is not me.
Parting the Red Sea.
Yeah, this is what my pastor came up with. But I like this. Now I'm asking the question: is it possible that people will celebrate their history in Egypt?
Absolutely.
Well, when you celebrate your history in Egypt, you're still in Egypt,
right?
And so your history is not doing you much good.
The Bible tells us not to think upon our youthful lust and not go back to that place because it will get us in trouble.
I want to think about my history outside of bondage.
I mean, I
want to be someplace else when I'm remembering my history. I see a problem with that spiritually, individually, as a nation, some cultures of people.
But should we remember that place in Egypt? So, because what
it's
God did
it's where you remember it. It's not. I don't have a problem with people remembering and celebrating the history because that's biblical. It's where you celebrated at.
Like St. Patrick's Day, I used to celebrate. That's part of my history, but I don't celebrate it now because.
Well, Sandra, I'm not Irish. At least I don't think I got any Irish in me. But when I was in college, I used to celebrate St. Patrick's Day all the time.
But you was
out of
the world then.
Oh, yeah, but I'm still saved.
But you were out of the world.
You're
in the world, but you're still
out
of the world.
Oh, in the world? Under the world? Under the table? 10 seats under the hey, don't you ever do this. Oh, St. Patty's Day, we had a little song. And I had an Irish friend, he taught me a little Irish song. I'm black Irish. I'm just out there just singing a little song. And we're standing in front of the first seat. Yeah, no, we didn't have no skirt on. Shut up, Jimmy, and just do the donut.
Did you know that the lead singer for We Are Messengers is a little Irish man?
I know.
You know?
No, I don't know him personally, but I love We Are Messengers. So,
I saw him with Casting Crowns.
He was good, wasn't he?
Two Fridays.
That'd be awesome.
I think he was the best one.
I thought so, too.
Yeah.
All right, verse 20. They made progress and they can't. They're not where they used to be. They're in another place, but not in the promised land. They are just camping there.
Of course, toward camp.
But they only camped there as long as God was there.
Yes. But that means, and this is, camp means you won't be there
long
or forever. And then I don't know whether this is him or me, but the question is, have you ever been camping?
You won't be there long.
And when you look at that in the natural, I'm not where I used to be, but I'm not ultimately where God went, but he's still protecting. I'm camping, all right? But I know it's temporary. And so there's things in life that we should look at as camps. Divorce, unemployment, loneliness, brokenness. I'm just camping on my way to something better. This too shall pass. My illness, my health. Just camping. Just camping. God was still leading them. He never told them to make that place where they're camping home. Mm. Just a camp. Part of the process.
But you've got a better place for it.
Absolutely. Just camping here.
We're just camping here, yeah.
Absolutely. Out on the earth, just camping.
Yeah.
We mentioned Brother Pike.
This world is not my home. I'm just passing through.
Just passing through. Just camping. But I can still, in my camp season, I can still see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yep. All right. God never designed to take them to the wilderness to leave them there. God never stopped leading them 24/7 when we're talking about the pillar of the cloud. Every time they followed their leadership, they were okay. He will always show you the way to go. They had a visible sign. I added this question, I believe. How does that work for us? And we talked about that last week. The Holy Spirit. All right, some opening truths. Roger talked about this a little bit. He walked before them, leading them, but not leaving them.
A couple times he wanted to.
Which means if he leaves us, it means we're not following or lagging behind. If he leaves us, it means we're not following or lagging behind. So I try to say that. All right, got to catch up. God is in the fire and in the cloud. He often appears in the unlikely. Don't be so deep that you miss where he is. Pharisees, miss Jesus. Children of Israel, miss the manna. Who's this? They needed a divine navigation point. God will always give you what you need to make it through any season. Okay. Oh, here you go. This is for you. Follow the cloud, not the crowd. All right. And if you don't have it now, it's because you really don't need it now for this part of the journey. If you don't have it now, it means you don't need it now for this part of the journey.
Amen.
Those are my notes from Pastor Turner. And just so I promise Davey that we'll make some progress in the, because I need to leave, let me just do this. And Al, we will be in Exodus 14. Well, we're going to be back in there again. Okay, so now we're in Exodus 14 now. Thank you. God bless you. So I didn't lie to you. All right. We're going to do two verses. Exodus 14:1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before five Hiroth between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal Zephon. Before it, ye shall ye camp by the sea. We will look at
where that is.
It's easy for you to say, yeah.
And we will, well, there's a map there that shows it. All right, so this is a 3-day journey. And you're going to see, rather, like Susan said, rather than go straight across, he tells them to turn, make a U-turn.
To go there where they're going to be.
Yep. And numbers will show us that it's 3 days. So this is a 3-day journey, and then we're going to see here, look, verse 3. For Pharaoh, the devil, the world, will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land the wilderness has set them in.
Mine says they are bewildered by the land.
That's true.
The Israelites are confused.
So, he purposely puts them in position to be trapped. And the enemy is going to see the position that they are in. Thank you, Holy Ghost. and say, ah, I got them. I'm going to go back and get them. Because the enemy in the world always wants you to come back and serve it, them. But we know from this story, it was all a trap.
Mm-hmm.
And that God will get glory from the story.
Don't you hope when we're all in heaven, and everything's on the new heaven and earth and everything's set up, that we get to see a video of it?
Oh, this?
The original.
Oh,
well, that's what I agree with that. That's what I want to see.
Oh, yeah.
God is the way, but he was also in the way.
Oh, wait a minute.
Anyway.
Wait, say that again. I'm going to drop the mic on that one. Can you say that again? I think you can't even say it again.
God is the way, but he was also in the way.
Say that again.
He blocked the way.
The bad guy.
Is the way.
God
is the way.
Is the way.
And he also is in the way.
Yep.
When
the fire and the
he
cloud.
Is in the way. That's good, Susan. But does not qualify for a mic dropping because it's a graduate level thing. You got to think about it. So. Yeah, now he can marinate. We'll drop the mic on next week. All right. All right, I got to get out of here. Father God, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord God, for this lesson. Thank you, Lord God, that we don't, oh, Lord, don't let.